about just what profound simplicity looks like in our lives, and to unpack that just a bit, it's just how do you live for Christ when distractions are all around us, right? When we live in a world of distractions. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. We're just going to talk about simplicity and what that does for our lives, and when we're not living under that principle of simplifying our lives, ways that the enemy can really try to derail what God has for us. And so we have an example from Mary and Martha, where Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, right? And Martha is frustrated and busy, right? And some people would say that Martha has a point, right? So, I mean, in a normal setting, Martha would be just being hospitable, right? So being hospitable is, the word wants us, tells us that we should be hospitable to people that come over, guests, family, you know, and I believe there's a ministry in hospitality. Some people have the gift of hospitality. You ever been to somebody's house and they just are hospitable, like you feel welcome immediately when you come in. It's just warm and welcoming, and it creates an environment for conversation and relationship to flourish. And so Martha, under normal circumstances, may be justified in her busyness around the house, trying to make preparations. I don't think they had microwaves back then, so I'm pretty sure it was a little more, you had to be intentional and laborsome to prepare meals, unless you're setting out just a few things that you had lying around the refrigerator. No, they didn't have refrigerators either. So I guess everything was more laborsome to produce when somebody came over. And so it would probably take a long time to do that, and more hands are better than just two. And so Martha's probably looking at Mary going, what in the world are you doing? Why are you sitting at the feet of Jesus? But Mary understood something that Martha had not quite caught on to yet. And that is, there is no other place that we should be when Jesus is there. And it is our time to sit at his feet, to worship him, to praise him, to learn from him. And so I know, as a chief busyness guy, that there is a balance that we have to reach in our faith between being busy about sometimes even the Lord's work or just things that need to get done to provide for our families and things like that. So I don't want to villainize hard work. That's not my intention. But today, what I want to unpack, especially when we just start kind of talking about simplifying our lives and how the enemy might want to distract us, is it's very easy to get caught in a trap where we replace the supernatural, and we replace sitting at the feet of Jesus and receiving those things that are eternal and fill our souls and grow us up into maturity in Christ. We can substitute that with a counterfeit that seems like we're doing good things, but we're completely missing the mark. And I think that's one of the lessons that Jesus is trying to teach Mary in this scripture in Luke 10. I know that it's very easy to get distracted in life. I believe with all of my heart, you've heard me say before, that God has created us. He's created with us with a purpose. First, to be in loving and intimate relationship with him. One of the things about intimacy is you can't be intimate with somebody that you're not around, right? And so there is a principle about us spending both quality but also quantity time at the feet of Jesus, right? If we want to look like him, if we want to talk like him, if we want to walk like him, we say we want to follow in his footsteps, that begins with spending time with Jesus. And so if that's true, if God has created us and created us on purpose, for a purpose, if there's an enemy to our souls, which we believe that there is and know from God's word that there is, then he is going to do everything that he can to derail us from living out God's purpose, right? We've talked about that before, even just a month ago when we had our first service. We touched on that point just a little bit. And I realized that Satan There's a saying that goes around Christian circles sometimes. If Satan can't make you bad, then he'll make you busy, right? If Satan can't make you bad, behave badly, or walk away from God, then another way that he can derail us is by just having us so consumed with tasks that we fail to realize the things that we are saying no to that have eternal significance and importance. So if I choose to do this thing over here, that means I'm choosing not to do this thing over here. Why? Because our time, our energy is all finite, right? We only have so much in a day. There's only so much time, there's only so much resource that I have to contribute, and so I have to watch and almost guard the way that I spend my time, the way that I offer myself to different tasks, to different people, and I want to be in balance and alignment with what God wants for me, to take my marching orders, if you will, from him, instead of just going about life haphazardly, because very easily when I do that, the enemy will put thing after thing after thing in front of me for me to put my hands on. And it oftentimes will appear on the surface as if it's a good thing, right? I'm doing this work for the church. I'm doing this work to help out this individual. I'm helping, you know, I'm doing this. And it will, and those things probably are good things. But if we do them to the sacrifice of the great things, the eternal, the kingdom things with a capital K in our lives, then as we go down the road, we're going to look back. And I believe that we'll look with regret. I was talking to somebody just a few days ago, and they were talking about the end of life regret. And as we look back, if our life does flash before our eyes at some point, every single one of us in this room is going to stand face to face with our Creator. And we probably don't spend a lot of time thinking about that. I guess the older we get, maybe the more time we might think about that. But I think it is good to think about once in a while because it's sobering. And it almost brings us back to true north, if you will, in our lives spiritually, because we realize, boy, it's just so easy to go about life in the mundane things that I fail to stop and realize there's going to be a moment, and maybe 10 minutes from now, or maybe 10 years, 50 years, we don't know. But I will, nevertheless, stand before my Creator, and maybe my life flashes before my eyes, but I don't want to look back, and I don't want to say, boy, I wasted months of my life, or I wasted years of my life spinning my wheels around things that have zero kingdom impact, zero eternal significance. Most people in the room know Doug Burley, and he used to say, invest in the things that will be here 10,000 years from now. Invest in the things that will be here 10,000 years from now. Well, what he's saying is, nothing here, earthly, is of that. It's only in the supernatural. It's only in the kingdom. Those are the things that are eternal. Invest in the things that are eternal. One of the ways, there's almost a litmus test, a way for us to measure, if you will, if things are spiraling out of control or getting out of balance in our lives. And there's four things that I want to just highlight as I was thinking about this moment. Number one, busyness or distraction can move us away or distract us from kingdom priorities. If we're too busy to engage the body of Christ, it is very easy. Now, all of you are church outsiders, right? So you guys get the gold stars on a little bit preaching in the choir. But it's a good remembrance that there is no substitute for God's church in the way God established it. We had discussions some years ago during COVID and post-COVID whether to continue streaming or not, because it became very comfortable and regular and safe, right, for people to be in their homes just watching church on TV. And that the fear was that, boy, people are just going to stay there and they won't come back to church. And the reason why it was a fear or concern was we realized, like, there is no good substitute. Now, there are shut-ins, and it's great to have screening when you're at a distance or things like that, like you're detached from your church body for a while. But the desire should always be that we are returning back to relationship like this, that we can look each other in the eyes, we can see how each other are doing, we're checking in with each other, we're doing life in a way that's this one-on-one, flesh meeting flesh kind of relationship, right? And for whatever reason, and God in all of his wisdom established his church and knew that this was the way that he was going to expand his kingdom, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ was going to be preached throughout all generations, right? And not only that, that the gospel would be preached and people would be able to come to Christ, come into community, but that we would be able to grow. We cannot grow as an island unto ourselves. It takes each other in relationship, and not just relationship, but Caitlin and I believe very much, and we're talking yesterday, about the importance of intergenerational relationship. Like, there is something that Evie and Luther need from grandma and grandpa. Their experience, their time on earth, their wisdom, and their stage in life. And just like that, there is something significant about Luther and Evie and Katarina that they infuse into your lives. And there's something that God does in that, because it's really easy as you get older and older to just want to slow down, detach. I just want my own space, my own, you know. And you see people do that. You see people go that route. And I don't think they're going to live in the fullness that God wants for them if that's the route that they choose. If they just choose to insulate and just have their own little kingdom that they're building and live in a condo in Florida and just go to the pool and back every day. You know, it's just, that's not God's purpose. That's not living into God's purpose. God has called us to more, and he's used the vehicle of the local church to carry that out, to carry out the mission of evangelism, but also of internal care for each other, that we might build each other up as iron sharpens iron, and that through you and through me, prayerfully, God transforms all of us, right? So distraction from kingdom priorities, if I'm too busy, if my life becomes too chaotic, too cluttered, it's amazing how that aspect of our lives is easy to push out. Well, this is the only job that I can get, you know, that, and I have to work Sundays. Maybe that's true for a season, but we should be doing everything we can as a church body to encourage. It's important for you to be present in church. It's important for us to, as individuals, do everything we can to prioritize. The second thing, and this is kind of straightforward and a little bit of a no-brainer, but it hinders our ability to have personal time with Jesus. The busier that I get, it's really easy to lose focus of just spending that time sitting at his feet, right? And so there is something to our personal practices of holiness. She really wants to get into that cover. She's like, I'm not giving up. I'm being persistent.
Yeah, she can't get
next week, Evie's going to preach on the persistent widow, and she's going to talk about it. He's knocking at the door. So it's critical for us to grow in Christ, for us to be with Christ, right? It just is, and I talked about that earlier, but we have to be able to spend time in his word to know who he is. We have to spend time in prayer and just open communication with him throughout our day, and just as any love relationship would be. If you love somebody, you want to be with them. You want to do everything you can to carve out time, and you'll do crazy things like fly to Korea all the way across an ocean, or you'll like drive, you know, countless hours just to deliver flowers for no other reason than just to deliver flowers, or, you know, so these are the things that are romantic, and I hope and pray that we don't lose our romantic relationship with the Father of the universe, because that's what he desires. He wants to not just, he knows all of us, right? Every hair on our head or lack thereof. But he's a God that wants to be known. And that was revolutionary, right? That revolutionized the entire world. That the God of the universe would create a way through his word, through prayer, by us being together, that he wants to be known. He wants to be known by his people, by his creation. But we have to spend time with him in order to do that. And busyness and distraction, again, the enemy will use that to push those times of intimacy, the those things that we need to just sit at his feet and marinate in his presence. That's where maturity comes from in Christ. The third thing is, busyness or distraction can cause a false sense of fulfillment. I saw this a lot when I worked at the mission. Sometimes you see it with folks that are always talking about people around them, right? And what they want to do is they want to spend so much time having you focus on everybody else's faults, what they're not doing, the rules they're not following, all this kind of stuff, because they don't want to take a look inside. It's much easier to focus outside than it is to take a look inside and say, you know what, there are some things that I got to work on. There are some things that I need to confront. There are some things that I need to address, and they're not just going to get solved over time or by ignoring them. Sometimes you've got to grab that thing and wrestle it to the ground to get, like, growth and to say, no matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult it is. So busyness can be that same way. We can just keep putting our hands to a task and keep our schedule full. And honestly, it is a coping mechanism sometimes to not want to turn inward and say, I'm willing to do the hard work that needs to happen inside of my heart. And Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to do that in me, to minister to me, to draw out of me that poison that's killing me, but I want to ignore and just pretend isn't there. And so when we quiet our souls, David said in the Psalms, he said, be still and know that I am God, right? Be still and know that I am God. And it's in that stillness, it's in that simplicity, it's in that quieting our hearts, quieting our minds, quieting our lives. My friend Jeff, right, Jeff Lilly, he used to say, if I have competing things on my schedule, if a third one pops up, I cancel all of them and go home and kiss my wife, right? So, and he was joking about it somewhat, but he's like, I realize if I have that many things that are stacking up on my schedule, that I have three meetings competing with each other in the same time slot, something's off in my life. And so he just rejects it, right? Of course he didn't always do that, but it was a good principle. And what he was trying to teach was this thing about simplifying your life. When your schedule gets that busy, that your priorities are off and you're forgetting what's first and what should be secondary, something has to happen, sometimes dramatic, to self-correct or to correct the issue. The final thing is it can disrupt life balance. We've talked a little bit about that, but busyness can upend those things that should be the priority. It can fracture relationship. It can cause neglect in relationship and lead to you know, strain on the core relationships that we have. And so that's why I appreciate if we really try to be intentional about date night. Date night is not a silver bullet. It doesn't cure everything. It just tries to say, this is a priority. And so I know Hunter and Jordan have practiced that. I know you guys are able to get away with that one more time. Our families do, but it's good to say, Lord, I'm keeping first things first. And if we get so busy in life, and I see this happen with people all the time, it's kind of the old Cats in the Cradle song, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, about the dad who neglects the relationship with the son. And the son ends up at the end being just like the dad, and then he doesn't have time for the dad. And the dad sits there in this pit of regret, right? And that's kind of that end of life as our life flashes before our eyes and we're standing with our Creator and we're looking back. It's like, did we keep the first thing first, or did we let other things distract us and derail us from those things that God has said are primary and core? I met with a pastor up in Virginia Beach a couple days ago, and he has a very interesting story. And one of the things he said two times in our conversation, he says, Noah built an ark to save his family. He said, Noah built an ark to save his family. And what he was trying to communicate was, God has called us specifically to certain relationships that are core, right? And it's true in ministry. We can spend, as a pastor, you see it over and over again, they can spend all the time with all these parishioners or congregants or people in the community that need time. But if they lose touch or lose sight or neglect their relationship with their kids, who God has given them as a gift to raise and to love and to nurture and to rear, they often look back with great regret. And so whether it's sitting at the feet of Jesus first as the very first priority, and no other priority even comes close. So it's sitting at the feet of Jesus, but also understanding that our lives have concentric circles of responsibility. And after my relationship with the Lord, it's my relationship with my family. And then after that, it's the relationship with people that God has brought into our sphere of the church and people that we're called to walk with and other extended family and things like that. So that's the way I understand it, and that's the way that I try to practice it. Distraction and disruption can oftentimes make us flip our priorities, and then at the end of the day, we realize, well, it's too late. We often say, well, someday I'll stop working so much, or someday I'll make that a priority, and guess what? The kids have already grown up. They've got their own friends. They've got their own, or we've just missed an opportunity. There are moments in life that God gives us a portion, a window, and this is our chance in this window. And when we miss it, we miss it. There isn't going back. Now, God will use all of that, even if we mess up on it, to teach us and redeem us and grow us and mature us. And we always pray that there is a pathway for redemption in that, of relationship that, hey, I didn't do everything right. None of us are, right? But how can we learn and grow through that? But on the front end, if we can learn through Scripture, learn by other people's mistakes, maybe, then maybe we can avoid some of those pitfalls. So what does healthy balance look like? I'm going to end with this. So I created the scale some years ago. I used to use it with some leaders at the mission to talk about work-life balance, but also stress, and how much stress is enough stress versus how much is too little for kind of the optimization of our work-life balance. And so just to explain it real quick, if that long line in the middle is kind of the 50-yard line of our lives, right? That's kind of the halfway point. If we're under-challenged, if we're just sitting on our bums all day, right? Then we will slide down this scale and eventually get to a place of what I've titled here, idleness, right? And that's not a good thing. Scripture is very clear that we're not to be idle. And God made us on purpose with a purpose. And so God may have made us on purpose, but if we're idle, we're never going to be living into our purpose because we're enjoying comfort, we're enjoying just sitting and not doing what we should be doing and in our responsibility. So we will be under-challenged, we will be demotivated, and oftentimes I've seen people that sit in idleness can have a very critical spirit. Why? Because they have time to be critical of other people, right? And so maybe that's it's not true of everybody, but it's certainly a theme that I've personally seen in individuals, whether it's in the workforce or whether it's just in life. Now, the opposite end of the scale is also very unhealthy, right? I liken this one to is it a tachometer on a car, right? It shows the RPMs. Am I saying that right? Okay. So, what redlining is, right? That's where your RPMs are going so high. Now, there are times in our lives where we need to push, right? There are tasks, there's something where we're moving, we got stuff like, we're going to work long days. There's nothing wrong with hard work, but you can't live here. You can't live here. Just like that tachometer on the car, if you stay here, it's going to burn the engine. And the same thing is true with us. That's how God created us. We can go up here once in a while. We can go up here, and it's not bad. It's not bad to have some days that we string together. They're hard work, 12, 14-hour days. We need to get some things done, and there can be some reward in that. But we also need to recognize if we are in a season, and perfectly that's a very short season, where we're extremely busy, where there's a lot of hay on our fork, then we need to be very, very intentional about sliding to the other end of the scale to restore ourselves, to be able to regroup and say, boy, I've been up here, I really need to let off. I need to let off. Now, this green area, the reason why I put the star there is it's just above that 50% mark, right? But it's maybe 50 to 60%, and I think that's the optimal space for us to have life balance. Why? Because it's just far enough that there's positive stress in our life. Why is it positive stress? Well, positive stress moves you forward. It moves you off your spot. It says, there's something in me that knows that I need to do something, and I want to do something about it. And I believe that that's where God wants us to live, in this space, the green space there, of optimal stress, where we're not too engaged, but we're moving forward in life. We're moving forward in the things of Christ. We're moving forward in healthy and positive ways, but we're not being lazy. And I believe that David in the scripture, I believe he's saying this: be still and know that I am God. You can be still before the Lord because it takes intention to be still, right? It's not I'm on the couch all day being still. This is an intentional move towards God. I'm saying, Jesus, I want to sit at your feet like Mary did. It was intentional. It wasn't laziness on her part. She was saying, Jesus, the Messiah, is in my home. And there's nothing more important on earth than for me making a conscious decision to move to his feet and sit under his healing, his tutelage, his love, his mercy, and his grace. And so I believe that there's a way that we can do this, and I think that there's warning signs that say we're out of balance, that say, you know what, you're just, what's going on here? For us to unpack together, say, hey, I know you've been very, very busy, but how are you doing? And also, like, is there anything you're running from? Is there anything here that you're, is this a coping mechanism, or is this just a season that you really feel like, oh, this has to be done? I've got to push this. And then we'll talk about, hey, what's your plan to restore? What does rest look like for you? What does it mean to Sabbath? And I don't mean to take, Pastor Caitlin's going to talk in 2 weeks about that and about the need for Sabbath and those rhythms in our life. But this alone can be drawn on a napkin, right? You can just draw this line on a napkin. We can be having coffee together or something. You can say, tell me where you're at on a scale, right? So you can use this with other people that you're walking with and walking with in Christ. And just saying, let's just check in. Like, how can I come around you and how can I encourage you to either get engaged if you're completely disengaged right now, to get in the battle, you know, for the kingdom, to be moving towards your purpose that God has created and given, or how can we peel this back? Is there things that we need to say no to? We need to clear the calendar. Is there things that I can do to come up alongside you to take off burden? Now, I'm looking at a season right now because I'm looking at Luther, and Hunter and Jordan may be like, we just had babies. I haven't gotten sleep in a month or 2 months, and that is, those are real things. And so as much as we can encourage each other, talk to each other about where we're at, and we just don't want anybody to pop, right? We don't want your rib line to burn out and the engine to blow up. So anyway, that's been helpful for me. I was hoping that it would be helpful to you. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about the distraction of money and comfort. And just like hard work, like the Bible says, hey, it's good to work hard. It's good to, it's okay to have money. Jesus doesn't say not to have money. He says, but you better be careful. He talks about it more than anything else. And there's a reason, because it can be a trap. Just like busyness and distraction can be a trap to us really pursuing Christ, money and comfort can also be a trap. And many people fall in it. And I think that's why Jesus talks about it so often. And he says, look, we just got to be very, very careful. So any thoughts?